All right, guys, so welcome to another episode of the Value Vault. So it's something which I've set up with the intention of trying to extract as much value as I can from people who I know personally and people who also, you know, I look up to and learn from myself, and just trying to extract as much value from those people so that you as a listener can just get access to the same information which has helped me change my life. And today on the episode, we've got somebody who I know personally. His name's Adam Gately. And for those of you who don't know, I'm going to let Adam give an introduction to his journey and story. But Adam's somebody he's got a wealth of knowledge and experience. He's completely transformed not only just his lives, but hundreds, if not thousands, of other people's lives within the affiliate and network marketing space. And he's somebody who I've always resonated and looked up to, especially at the beginning part of my journey, because what you'll learn from Adam, if you don't follow him already, is just the attitude, what he's got. It's phenomenal in terms of it's no bullshit to the point, but also how he's able to take people trying to throw shots at him. I love the way that he handles it and just fires back, really, which is something which we're gonna deep dive into on the episode as well. So Adam, welcome to the podcast, mate. So for the viewers' benefit, let's hear your journey and story. I think especially, you know, leading up to where you're at right now in your life, because you've transformed your life. And I think especially for a lot of people on social media who hear about these opportunities, about creating freedom and being able to leave your 9 to 5, and you know, there's a lot of skepticism around that, but you're somebody who has done that and actively help people on a day-to-day basis do that. So let's take the journey, let's take the story, mate.
Yeah. I feel like the podcast will probably be covered in the story itself, but so I'll keep it short for the first 5 minutes or so. So I'm literally like the typical, I guess, northern guy from the UK, and fell out of school, didn't know what I wanted to do, as most people don't, and that's all right, by the way. Like, how can we be pinned down to make a decision for what we want to do for the rest of our lives at 16, 17 or 18? I find that crazy. Anyway, that was me. And quite simply, I got a job in a supermarket when I was 18. If you're from the UK, it was Asda, bright green uniform. Didn't know what I wanted to do. And then like fumbled around to a few other jobs and ended up working for a finance company. Was doing like loans, mortgages, things like that, which at the beginning, I thought it was all right. I was enjoying it. I was making decent money. And then, you know, the longer that you're in a job, the more stagnant and bored you feel. And you get this feeling inside that you want to do something better. And, you know, I was 10 years at that company. So I didn't really make much progress from a financial perspective. Like, I wasn't, you know, I was only getting a 1 or 2% pay rise every year. And with that come more and more crap, you know, like extra responsibilities for no extra money. And I'm sure a lot of people watching might resonate with this as well. If you're in a job right now and you're getting extra responsibilities put onto you and you're not getting paid in any extra, then maybe it's time to look for something different. That's what I decided to do 7 years ago. I was 31 at the time. And I was looking around for lots of opportunities online. Didn't really, again, know which would be the best one. I had no business experience at this point. I had a few sales skills from the finance job that I was working. So I felt confident that if I could find something that I believed in, that I was confident in, I could run with it. And with a bit of guidance and mentorship, hopefully be successful. Mm-hmm. But as usual, I had fears and I had doubts and I was skeptical about online opportunities. This was 2017, by the way. So now we're in 2024. There's lots of online opportunities. People are not as skeptical as there was back then in 2017. Mm-hmm. So I was skeptical. And then you find an opportunity and then you have people in your ears like, don't get scammed, stick to your job, be realistic and all that, which I could have listened to. But I knew that, you know, there was something out there for me and I knew that I could, I was worth more than what I was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. Had a massive passion for travel as well. Myself and my wife, Sally, we used to, when he used to get holiday days from work, used to get about 21 or 22 a year, again, which is not enough. But we used to all use all of those for travel, like weekends away or a couple of weeks away. You know, sometimes people take holidays from work to just take the day off and chill. We never used to do that. So we had a massive passion for travel. And that was a big motivator for me wanting to find something online, an online business opportunity that I could take with me wherever I wanted to go, and also get paid and work on my own schedule. So anyway, all of these things built up. After trying a few things like match betting, drop shipping, things like that, didn't really work out. Partly on my part as well, I want to take responsibility for that. Like, I didn't stick to them as long as I probably should have to try and see the results. And then I came across the opportunity that we're in now, the online business opportunity we're in now. And it had more or less everything on paper that I wanted and needed to get to the life that I wanted. It had, you know, community, mentorship, support. It had products that I believe in. It had a business model that I believe in. I could take it anywhere in the world and I could do the work and get paid from anywhere. So it ticked all the boxes. But and that was amazing, and that was exactly what I wanted. But at the same time, there was a lot of work I needed to do on myself to start getting those results, such as, you know, my money mindset was really shit, to be honest. I used to, like, the holidays that I mentioned, used to put them on credit cards, used to go on holiday with the lads, put it on a credit card, think it was free money. So I had a lot to work on up here. But the main thing, looking back now, the main thing that I was and I am coachable. I'm willing to listen to other people. I'm willing to try things. And if it doesn't work out, I'll try something else. I do that now, and I was open to that back then, 7 years ago. If we move forward a bit, you know, I started the business, lots of ups and downs, lots of bad days, good days. It's not easy. I was scared to even start. I was scared when I was starting, I would never come on a video like this or a podcast or a Instagram live. I would never do that because I'm an introvert and I wasn't confident enough at the beginning. But slowly, practiced all of that, gave it a try, tried it 10 times, 100 times and more. And, you know, it's just all about practice. And now I'm confident to pretty much take on any challenge, I feel. But as the business made progress, I was able to quit my job after about 6 or 7 months of starting the business. And that was because I was getting financial results, but also my wife, Sally, she is a big part of that because she supported me financially at the beginning as well. So we had a little safety net with her being her. Sally had a good job as well at that point. Built up again, started building up. And then 2 years after, I was able to say to Sally, you quit your job. We're making enough now. And we've been traveling ever since then. So for 5 years now, we've been traveling the world. We have been home a few times to see friends and family, but we've been to some amazing places all over the world. Currently, I'm in Colombia in South America, which is one of our favorite countries. And the business has opened up so many doors like this, so many avenues, not just for me, but for people that I've helped. I see them going traveling or whatever it is they're doing to live their best life. And I think, yeah, that's a good feeling for me as well, to see me introduce these people, help these people, them take the baton and them living their best life as well. In more recent times, this year, I've been able to retire my mum in April. So she was working a job in a suit shop. And I know she was sick of it. She's like 60 plus years old. I know she was sick of it. And that was a great feeling to be able to give back to her and retire her. And now she's able to have the freedom as well. So I've achieved probably a lot more things, and there's probably lots of things that I've missed out there, but I've literally gone from one extreme, like hating my job, pretty much hating my life, getting pissed every weekend because I was trying to forget the bad times at work, to I don't drink as much now because I'm more relaxed. I have the freedom. Sally does as well, and we're able to travel and just enjoy life and enjoy doing things like this, like inspiring other people on podcasts like this. So that's nice. In about 5 minutes, that's 7 years of maybe more of stuff that's happened.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I also didn't even know that about you retiring your mom as well. I think that's, obviously I knew that you retired Sally, which I think for anybody in a relationship, especially as a man, to be able to just say to your partner, like, look, you don't need to do this anymore. I'm good. I've got you. I also didn't understand as well how much I knew she would have played a part in, you know, your journey. But I think it's beautiful the fact that she was also fully on board with you committing to that path, which I think it's just essential to have that in a relationship, which is something which I'm going to go a little bit further into. But just for the beginning part of the journey, for the beginning part of the process, because I know there'll be a lot of people listening to this who are at that beginning stage, whether they've actually taken action on creating a life that they want, or they're just in a position where they realize that the life that they have, you know, you were seeing that when you first started in finances, it was sort of like the honeymoon effect at the beginning. Everything was seemed pretty good, but then gradually you're realizing that it isn't all that it's made out to be. So two things within this, because I know that you also mentioned that, you know, you had certain people around you seeing like out for scams, and undoubtedly they would have had an opinion on what you were doing. So the first part, what was it that changed in your mindset that had you actually taken action on changing life? Because I can imagine, obviously, in finances, I think in society, a lot of people will look at that as something which is very safe, it's secure, you can, you know, you can climb the ladder in the career and, you know, all this type of stuff. Yeah. What was the mindset shift that you had that had you realizing that this wasn't it, but then also had you taken action on, you know, finding a new way to create a different life?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both things. And I was in the office, obviously doing pretty much the same things every day, the same tasks every day. And then you're sitting and looking around the office, and there's people like 10, 20 years ahead of you. And I was just thinking, like, am I going to be like that in 10 years or 20 years? Am I going to be just, you know, the same person doing this for 10 or 20 years? Mm-hmm. And the answer was no. I'm not going to be able to retire early. I'm going to be looking at 67 years old or whatever it is in the UK for retirement. I'm not going to be able to travel long term and see the world, which is what I wanted to do. And I'm not going to be able to be financially free. And what I mean by that is that I don't mean buy a yacht or something like that. I mean, that's going to be nice. But I just mean going out and taking the family for a meal and saying, I've got the bill, just something like that. And I couldn't do that. I used to, when I was at that point, like 8 or 9 years ago, I was going out, say, for a meal. And I was always pick the cheapest thing on the menu. And there's a deeper thought to that. There's a deeper thing to that. It's not just picking the cheapest thing on the menu. Mm-hmm. It's like the feeling inside when you're doing that versus the feeling inside when I can now take the family out for a meal and get the bill and everyone's happy and you feel happy because you've done it and stuff like that. So things like these I was thinking about 7 years ago when I was sat in that office. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, if I don't do something, you know, it's taken me a few years and I've messed around with a few businesses and not really achieved anything. But if I don't really take this seriously, if I don't take setting up a business, setting up a side hustle or whatever it is seriously and take action, then I am going to be stuck. I'm going to be stuck for the rest of my life in this job, in this mindset, feeling like, you know, I'm not making progress, feeling like I should be more successful than I am. I should be a better person than I am. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why I took action. I just couldn't deal with what was to come in 10, 20, 30, 40 years if I didn't take action at that point when I was 30 years old. And I think that's what drove me to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so important as well, because Jordan Peterson talks about how most of the time we operate with an incomplete analysis. So all we'll usually focus on is the consequence of taking action, which obviously, undoubtedly, you will have had awareness of potential consequences if you invested the money and invested the time into starting side hustles, them not working out, you're losing money, people's opinions, whatever it is. And I think so many people get stuck and caught in that trap of thinking where all they are focused on is the problems that can arise if they do the thing, and they aren't aware of also the consequence of not taking action as well. So with what you've just said there, I think it's a very important thing to highlight, because a lot of people aren't aware of the consequence of not even executing. Because it's nice to have the goal and it's nice to have the dream and, you know, the nice things, and, you know, it's a very important thing to have, you know, that clarity. But in terms of human motivation, we're 70% more motivated intrinsically to avoid pain as opposed to acquiring pleasure. So acquiring pleasure in that example would have been to have the freedom to have the nice things and to buy the meals and all that good stuff. But the avoidance of pain is, in your case, it was that pain of being the person who skimped out on meals, wasn't able to provide, and didn't really feel like he was even stepping into anything. And I think that's such a powerful point to highlight for people, because I think a lot of people know what they want. Like a lot of people want to have the freedom that you've got. A lot of people want to be able to travel the world. They want to be able to buy nice things. They want to have financial freedom. They want these things, but they find themselves stuck. And I think it's usually because they're not aware of, well, what's the pain that I will be faced with and will experience 10, 15 years down the line if I'm in the same position, earning the same money, living the same way, doing the same things. And I just think it's a powerful thing to highlight for people, is to like, what's the consequence of not doing the thing? So when you decided to take action, then what was some fears that sort of like came up for you? I mean, did you have any fears? What came up for you when you decided to do it, and what were they, and how did you work through them? How did you navigate and overcome them?
So yeah, there's tons of fears. Like, they just, as soon as you, do you know those machines in arcades and amusements? I forget what they call the actual machine, but you have a hammer and you're bashing it down. Yeah, and then you bash one down, the other one comes up, and then you've got to get the other one. That was it. If I had to describe it, mate, that was it. And that's been it throughout the last seven years, to be honest. I mean, the less regular popping up now.
Yeah.
In the early days, in the first 6 to 12 months, just cut fear, limiting beliefs, self-doubt, you can't do this. Someone comes along and puts something in your head that's negative. You have to knock that one down. So all of these things, like, I mean, the initial fears in starting a business, let's be honest, the initial fear is putting time and money in. Probably money is top of the list. Putting money into a business at the beginning, a startup, and it not working out, and you not getting a penny of that money back. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest fear. And that's going to be the biggest fear for everyone that's watching in that position of starting a business now, I think. Like, I'm putting money in, and when am I going to see some of this money back, or all of this money back? So how I dealt with that is how I justified that to myself, and probably Sally as well, was, you know, I've spent so much money in my life, in my first 30 years of life, and most of it has gone on lots of crap, like, that's not served me. The few that come up first are alcohol and probably junk food, and I mean, holidays, but, you know, you get a good time out of a holiday. But if you're putting it on a credit card, like, you know, then you've got to think, if I can do all of that, then I can definitely put some money in to start a business and put it to good use and potentially make more money from putting that money into it. And that's how I justified it. Obviously, it took more than just one thought about it to change, to reinforce my opinion that I'm doing the right thing. And it will do for anyone that's watching as well. Like, you've got to have a good think about it, and it's going to have to take a bit of time to settle in and sit there with it. Like, when you're handing money over for, I've done it since then, like, for courses to help me make more money or for mindset courses or whatever, like, and it costs like 500 quid, £1,000 or even more. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Like, it hurts when you put the card details in, you know, you have to sit with it and accept it and realize that you're going to get something out of it. And mm-hmm. you're taking a risk out of your comfort zone. And not many people are prepared to do that. And that's why not many people are successful, in my opinion, because they're not prepared to do what successful people are prepared to do. So fears of losing money, fears, I mean, there was a bit of fear around, I'm putting time into this, is it going to work out? But at the end of the day, I used to come home from work, feel like I deserve to watch the football, feel like I deserve to watch Netflix, feel like I deserve to scroll on Instagram for 2 hours. So the time factor was, well, stop doing that. It's not doing much for you, if anything. And put that time into building your business and learning how the thing works and listening to other people and talking with other people who are successful. So that was another one. Like, I'm going to lose time, but I justified it by changing the thoughts of wasting time scrolling versus putting time into learning. And then just general fears, like, is it going to work out? What if it doesn't? What if it takes longer than I have in my head? What are the people who I respect, and hopefully they respect me, what are they going to think I'm doing? I'll be honest, I didn't get too many negative opinions at the beginning. I got a couple of snide remarks, you know, like the lads in the group chat, like, see my Facebook page and they're saying, what's he up to and all of this? What you doing, mate? And I know that a lot of people have bad, negative thoughts from parents and family members way more than I did. So I feel for those people. But if you can pull through that, those people are the most resilient and the most successful, I feel, because if they can pull through things like that, which is difficult, then they end up being successful.
Well, just a quick one on that as well, because I've noticed that with you, and this is something which it's definitely something which, especially from the early days, had me just resonate with the way you are as a person, just for the way that you operate in your mindset. Obviously, on your social media, you obviously get a lot of stick from people. You know, there'll be people who try and fight the shots and just take the piss and stuff like that. And I love the way that you just sort of like handle it, like, with that there, because it definitely is something which holds a lot of people back, like the fear of people's opinions. Like Michael Jarvis, he's got a book, The First Rule of Mastery, which is how to stop worrying about what people think about you. And I think it's definitely something which, it's a fear which a lot of people have. How do you deal with people's opinions when they aren't supportive? And, you know, they're trying to take shots and stuff. Obviously, I know how you handle it online and stuff like that, but what's your mental process that you go through when some criticism or some stick or some shots are being fired your way? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's a good one, mate. And I've learned, like, in the early days, I used to take this bad, like, when online anyway. When someone commented or messaged me and said, like, what are you doing? You're a scammer or whatever it was. It probably was a lot worse than that, actually. Whatever it was, I used to handle it quite bad. And I used to have a pop back, and you probably said some rash things. And it's took me years to manage to turn this one around. So I guess now, if I got a comment, or even if I got a comment in the early days, it's probably like a tick list of like what the process is in my mind of how to deal with it. So it would go something like, who is this person, first of all? Right. I don't know them. I've never seen them before. So that's the first thing, like, right, their opinion shouldn't matter then, because I don't have a clue who they are. I'm never going to meet them ever. Next thing, like, maybe I will click on their profile. What, like, and most of the time, it's, you know, it's probably not even a face of someone. It's probably a transformer or a car or someone like that. It or someone without even a profile picture. So then that's another tick. Like, their opinion is irrelevant because, you know, they're not successful. Mm-hmm. They're not, because successful people in my mind wouldn't really do that anyway. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm never going to see them. Their opinion is irrelevant. They're probably just some loser who's, you know, might not even have a job or something like that. Definitely doesn't understand how business works. So again, opinion irrelevant. That's another tick. And then you're just going down the road of why are they doing it? Maybe they've been stung in the past by a business opportunity. Mm-hmm. I understand more why they're probably commenting now, but it's not my fault that that's happened to them. Maybe they're going through a really bad time and their only enjoyment is giving me some stick and some shit on the internet. Mm-hmm. Again, in that case, I have a bit of empathy or sympathy, whichever one it is. I have a bit of empathy or sympathy because they're going through a bad time. So their only enjoyment is to give me some stick on the internet, even though it's not right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess those are the top three things, mate, that I would look at. And maybe the fourth one would be the actual comment, like what they're actually saying. Like, are they saying I'm a scammer? Well, they don't have any proof that I'm a scammer. They don't know me. They don't know what I do. They don't know how many people I've helped in the past or how many people I'm potentially can help. They don't know anything about me. So that's the fourth one. Like, what their comment is, like, and what their comment is there any evidence to support that? No. Let's get rid of it then. So that's how I deal with it now, and that's how I would tell somebody new into the business how to try and deal with that. And it's going to be harder for them because it might be the first time that they've been attacked online or spoken about negatively online, so it's going to be a bit harder. But if you can follow that process, and the more times it happens, the more you can actually brush it off, the easier it becomes.
I know that. I know that Ant Middleton talks, because I'm reading his book at the moment, The Wall. I don't know whether you've read that, but he talks, it's essentially about smashing self-doubt and, you know, just stepping into your best self. And he talks a lot about how when you decide to go against the status quo and decide to do life for you, especially in the realm of creating freedom, a lot of people who have chosen to live the restriction side of life, your pursuit of creating freedom, and obviously in your position right now, your experience of living freely, it triggers something within them, which knows deep down that's what they want, but they've got their own blocks of getting in the way. So a lot of the time, you know, I think with what you've just shared there was powerful, is a lot of people just project their own shit onto you, and it's a way of getting it out and lashing it out, when in actuality it's just a mirror reflection of their own insecurity and their lack of action on what it is that they want. So I think being able to just, like what you were saying there with that process, just understand it and ask yourself, well, what if they've just had a shit day? What if they've got shit going on and they're just using me as a scapegoat to just offload that instead of actually doing something about it? It's something which I do as well. If anybody ever gives shit, you know, I think an example is if I'm in traffic, if I'm in a car and I'm driving and let's say somebody cuts in front, I used to be such an angry driver. I used to be so reactive as a human. I don't know, it was ridiculous. But now, like, a mental thought process that I have when it happens is, right, well, what can I do in a situation to eliminate me from reacting to this and allowing that to control the way that I feel? It's just literally just creating a scenario in my mind of like, well, what if they're on a rush to hospital because somebody who they love is literally about to die and they're just speeding fast? Obviously, I know it's a bit of a different example, but I think just being able to, even if you can just create a scenario in your mind that this person is having an extremely bad day, the other's happened, and they're just using me as a scapegoat for it, just so you can feel empathy instead of anger.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's powerful to be able to do that. With this, because I know that a lot of people, I think, and this was definitely the mindset that I had before I started to do personal development. I used to put people on this sort of pedestal and on this platform, which I didn't even think that I could get onto myself. Like, I used to just like think people were just different to me and that I can't get to where they are. And because of that, I never used to think people were just a normal human. So I know that for me, before getting into personal development, if I was to say the life that you're living right now, and obviously the results and the success that you've got in business, if I was to say that, I would just think you aren't a normal human who experiences normal human shit because you're not living the way that normal people live.
Yeah.
And because of that, I was quite literally, I was making the position that you're in unattainable because I didn't believe that I could get there.
Yeah.
But obviously now that I've gotten into personal development and I've got this incredible network and grateful to see that you're in that network as well. And, you know, I'm speaking to more people who have results. I just know now, like, you are just a normal human being. Like, fundamentally, yeah, you're a normal human being with normal fears, normal shit going on, but you're just doing things differently to people.
Yeah.
With your journey, obviously it'll be easy for people to look on your social media and see like the good side, the high life of, you know, the life that you've lived and created for yourself.
Yeah.
What's been an example of some of the lows that you've had with your journey of creating the freedom? And what was that like? What were some examples? What was that like? And how did you get through them? What did you do about it to go through it?
Yeah, good question, mate. Because people do see me now on social media, like 7 years into a business, and they don't see the early years. So the early years, I used to do a lot of my work and my sales calls, things like that, in this little study we had in our house back in Yorkshire in the UK. And I was there some days like early in the morning, some days late at night, trying to figure things out, rack my brains. And in the early days of this business, I was probably one of the first few people to start this business in the UK. So I was kind of figuring a lot of things out myself through trial and error, things like that. And like, for example, I'd obviously done a lot of webinars for the business. One of my first few webinars, like, couldn't get, I had the thing set up and I knew exactly what I wanted to say. All the slides were done. The presentation was done. I was confident in that. But the sound, it's ironic because you had a few sound problems at the beginning of this. I had that, but on a larger scale, to like 200 people waiting for me, and the sound wouldn't work. And like, all this is pre-arranged. So we've asked these people to come to this presentation online at this specific time. We've been emailing them, telling them about it all week. And then the sound wouldn't work for like 15 minutes. And we lost a few people. And I did beat myself up over that one for a while. But obviously, in reflection, these things happen. We are just normal human beings. Technology is great, but it can go wrong. So that's just one that's popped up in my head there from the early days, mate. But as aside from that, I know I said I didn't have many negative opinions from family, but my brother, we don't really have a relationship anymore, because as I started doing well, I think he was dead against what I was doing in the business. And I'm going to say that, like, he was quite envious of the results that we've got. And we don't speak anymore. And he doesn't speak to my parents anymore as well. He's completely fell out with the family. And that's been hard to deal with the last couple of years. It's kind of, I don't want to say overshadowed, but it's affected the family a lot and me a lot in the business. And again, I'm trying to bring this one in to say that people see us as superhumans. We can deal with anything. We have great results, etc., etc. But like, you know, family disputes are a normal part of life, I feel. So we've had a lot of crap to deal with on the side of that as well. And then, like you said before, people see us as superhumans, but I don't see myself as a superhuman. I do stupid, silly things all the time. I have so many stupid stories where I've forgotten things. One of them was when we went home last year, we were at Manchester Airport and I picked up both our suitcases. And I said, right, I've got the cases, let's go. My dad took us home an hour and a half back to Sheffield. Gets back and I've picked up the wrong suitcase for Sally. picked up this random girl's suitcase. It was the exact same one, but Sally's suitcase was a bit more battered. This suitcase we picked up, someone else's. We had to make the trip all the way back to the airport. Cost us like 4 or 5 hours of time, but Sally's suitcase was there waiting for us. So again, the reason why I tell that story is I'm as daft as the next person. I make silly mistakes such as the next person. One of the main reasons why I think I've had the results that I do is I'm just willing to get out the comfort zone and take risks more than the average person. But I still make stupid mistakes all the time. I still have things going off in my life that the next family have going off in their life. And I try to be relatable as possible to people that were in my position 7 years ago looking for something better.
Nice. And when you're pushing yourself out of the comfort zone as well, is the mental process that you had at the beginning of the journey where you're aware of where it is that you want to be, but you're also aware of the consequence of, you know, not going into the unknown and not taking action, like the potential consequence of not doing that. Is that still a mindset that you operate with? Because obviously where you're at right now, obviously earning multiple five figures per month, you know, you're set for life with where you're at. It's going to be quite easy for people to get very complacent with that, especially with where you're at. Is that still a mindset that you operate with, whereby you're focused on the consequence of not like evolving and going into the unknown?
It is part of the decision making, yeah. Still have that there. Like, I don't know. I took a public speaking course earlier on this year, and that cost a fair bit. And again, the fears come up. Like the fears of that when I was looking to put the money down come up, like the fears did when I was starting my business. And it was just a case of, well, you know, I want to get better at public speaking, so I'm gonna have to take this risk. I'm gonna have to take this leap. Otherwise, I'm just gonna be, in my opinion, like just average at public speaking, you know, for the rest of it. The other thing that plays a part now is I've took these risks so often that, like, I'm quite confident that, you know, whether it pays off or not, I'll still be happy with what I do, because they've. It's like, you know, you build it up in the bank. You're like, take one race, take another one, jump out of the comfort zone, do this, do that. And then your confidence just grows with it that you're making the best decision for you then after years of doing that.
Right. It's quite interesting that you say that, because I was on a phone call, obviously, you know, Hannah. I was on a phone call with her today. And for those of you who don't know Hannah, she's also successful in the business as well. She's incredible. And we were actually having a good conversation, because I identified that her way of thinking is, because she's just invested like a fairly significant, like five-figure investment into 12 months worth of mentorship and coaching.
Yeah.
And she sees that her mindset was, and it's something which I've become aware of and I made her aware of it, is that her way of thinking is identifying the return that she will get of investment from investing it. And when I went in deeper on this with her, obviously in her example there, it was money, but it doesn't even have to be money. It can literally just be your time, like the amount of time that you invest into something. And by the sounds of it, this is what you're also operating with. It's identifying what is the return that I can get from this investment, whether that's investment of money, whether that's investment with time. Yeah. And it's almost like, because as humans, you know, we'll make a decision based with emotion and we'll justify through logic.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's also another thing which I'm identifying with the way that you operate, not just becoming aware of, well, what's the consequence of me not doing a thing, but it's also becoming aware of emotionally what it is that I want from it, and then logically justifying, well, if I do get this thing, then this is what can happen. Or even if this doesn't pull off, this is still something which I'm going to get as a result from it.
Yeah.
So I think like being able to have both ends of the spectrum, like given that, like rocket up the arse and identifying the pain that you will feel if you don't do the thing, but then also understanding logically and emotionally what can be of benefit on the other side of doing the thing, really.
Yeah.
What's some of the mistakes that you see a lot of people doing on the beginning, or on the beginning to the intermediate part of the journey? So they're either just getting started, or they're they've been in action for a while and they might not necessarily have the financial results and wins and stuff like that. What's some of the common mistakes that you've seen from your years in the business and obviously the organization that you've got? What's some of the common mistakes that you see people doing? And what would your advice be for people to essentially overcome those typical sort of mistakes?
Yeah, that's a good one as well, because there's people with all different mindsets when they get started, and all that they're at all different points in their life, so everyone's different. But in a nutshell, I would say I think people sit on their ideas too long. That's one of the things, and it's natural procrastination, like overthinking about something. But the way I've dealt with it and the way I would deal with it is, if you have an idea, if it's a business idea, if it's a new way of marketing or something like that, put it out there and just see how it does. Like, and then once you've put it out there and seen how it does for a decent amount of time, then you can reflect and review on it and see how you can improve it, if it does need improving. But you can't make improvements to something that's not there.
Yeah.
You have to do that thing first, put it out there. It might fall completely on its backside, but at least you've got something to work with then if it does, and at least you've tried it. So that's one of the things, people just taking too long to put an idea out there. It doesn't matter how big or small the idea is and where it sits in the area of business mindset. It might not even be business related. It might be a change to when you're working, your routines in the morning or the evening. You could even use it outside of business, like a different routine in the gym or a different time of going to the gym when you might feel better in the day, for example. But you don't know if it's going to work or if you can improve it or not until you actually do it and put it out there for the first time. So that's the first thing. As soon as you think of something, implement it as soon as possible. The next thing I would say is people, as we've spoke about in this, are scared of what people think, and that does stop people from putting their website online or putting a post online promoting their business or whatever the thing may be. People do get scared of other people's opinions, and I can completely understand that one. I completely get it, because obviously I've been there. But at the same time, are you going to let these people who are affecting you up here from putting something out there, from talking about your business, are you going to let these people stop you from essentially building what you want to build and being the person that you want to be? And essentially, if you're letting other people's thoughts dictate your actions, then you're letting them dictate your goals and if you're going to achieve them or not. So that's the other thing that I would say is, you've got to have a real think. If that's you, if other people are affecting your actions, you've got to have a real think of, are you going to let them do that forever as well? Or are you just going to, are you going to actually go out there, do it, and just roll with it and take the blows? Because the blows will come. You have to accept that the blows will come because of what you said earlier. You're going outside of the status quo. You're doing things that the normal people are not willing to do. So you're going to have to take one or two blows, if not more. So that's another thing. Yeah, just go through the process of not letting other people affect what you're doing and your actions.
Nice. I think it's pretty important to highlight it as well, because I think if there's anything that I've learned, and I know that Ant Middleton talks about it in that book, The Wall, what he talks about within that, especially with people's opinions, is when that voice comes up, when I was trying to internalize it more, and I actually journaled on it after I'd read the book, it was, well, is that inner voice that comes up, is it actually trying to highlight something? Because if I'm creating a narrative on my mind and I'm thinking it's going to be somebody else's opinion, they haven't said something yet, but this is before I'm taking action and I'm having this mental dialogue happen in my mind. Like, for me, the way that I look at it now is like, well, is there anything that I could be learning from this noise? So is there a particular thing which this voice is talking about? So let's say if hypothetically obviously relating it to business. Let's say if it's a web class, for example. Let's say if it's something within that type, well, is there actually an area within the web class where I actually feel subconsciously I could be doing better than, but I'm not? And this voice is just my own insecurity about something which I'm already aware of about what I'm about to publish. And maybe I haven't put 100% effort into it. So maybe the voice could actually be an indication of where you can improve. But it also might just be mental noise and you just creating a scenario in your head that hasn't yet happened and probably never will. But I love also what you said, because it's definitely something which I've had to learn, especially the hard way, of imperfectly taking action. And I think it's so important, because I don't know whether you've heard of the book Psycho-Cybernetics. Have you heard of that book or not?
I've heard of the book. I've not read it.
Yeah. So Psycho-Cybernetics, it was by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It was a phenomenal book. And he's talking about how a cybernetic mechanism in electronic things is how the manual option in a thermostat works. So if you, let's say, put 22 degrees as the desired goal that you want the thermostat to achieve for you, the cybernetic mechanism inside of that device will just work automatically to achieve and maintain the goal. If it's knocked off course, which is if the temperature drops or the temperature rises, it will automatically work to bring itself back on course. It's how the manual option works. It's how autopilot in a plane works, so the pilots can just, you know, get off the wheel and sit down if they wanted to. It's how cybernetics works. And the whole point of the book was that we have our own internal mechanism, which is the brain and the nervous system. You give yourself a goal and an objective, you will then work to achieve it, right? But it can only be done, a goal can only be accomplished by doing something first and getting feedback from actually doing it. So like what you were saying is, if you take action and you just put it out there, regardless as to whether it's perfect or imperfect, regardless of whether it's what you want, you will get some form of feedback. And that feedback, it might be negative feedback, which in, you know, in electronic things, that's just being knocked off course. You want 22 degrees, the temperature's dropped down to 17 degrees. You want something that converts, you've put it out there, it hasn't converted. But it's in that moment, it's like, well, what can I learn about what I've just done? How can I improve upon it? And then go out again, because like what you're saying, you can't improve upon something which doesn't exist, that isn't actually out there. And it's definitely something which is, you know, I've experienced myself. And I think it's just important for people to understand that the only way you're going to improve something is by actually having something tangible to improve upon, because you can't improve upon mental thought. It just isn't a thing. A final one on this end. So something which I want to try and incorporate into this podcast is essentially just transferring even more sort of like wisdom and value going into the next episodes. So within this whole podcast series, I'm going to be getting people on from different areas in life who are, you know, smashing it in their own field, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, whatever it is. What would a question be that you would like to ask for the next person I get on the podcast?
Good one, mate. I would say, what is something that what is a mistake that you made in the past that, let me think. I wrote something good down around this the other day. One sec.
Nice. It sounds like it's going to be a juicy question as well.
A time in the past where you were wrong, and how has your perspective changed since then?
Oh, that is a good question. A time in the past that you were wrong.
Yeah.
And what's your perspective been since then?
Yeah. So like for me, I was very rash in the early days of the business. And I would have made a lot of rash comments, I feel, or rash, you know, or messages to people. And now, if I look back on them, I would have changed how I would have worded it and things like that. You know, like over time, we think like we're always, I guess sometimes our internal dialogue, we think we're always right about a particular thing.
Yeah.
But then like 5 years later, we're like, oh God, I was so stupid then. Why did I even think like that? So that's the question.
Nice. I love that, mate. That's a quality question, that. Amazing. Amazing. Mate, I'm very grateful for having you on here as well. I feel even more grateful for the fact that I've just got you on my journey and in my life as well. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for coming on as well. Is there anything that you'd like to say as sort of like as a final piece to wrap it up for people?
Yeah, I would just say, like, for anyone either looking to build a business now or already in the process, already in the trenches building it, I would just say, when you have bad days, when things are just not going right, and like it's not just one thing, it's like 3, 4, 5 things piling up and then just not going the way you want, I always think to myself, this is where most people will give up, and I'm not going to be one of those people that give up. So that's what I would say to people. Like, we all have bad days, but just carry on and know that if you carry on, then you can't fail.
Nice. I love that. It's a good reminder as well. For anybody who wants to, you know, connect with Adam more on a personal, it's just Adam Gately, the Instagram, isn't it? I'm going to have it on a link in the description for the show as well.
Adam Gately. But thanks for having me on, mate. I really appreciate it. I enjoy things like this a lot.
Yeah, I love it, mate. And I'm undoubtedly going to have you on again in the future as well. I'm very grateful for you. And just to sort of extend the gratitude as well, it's like the impact that you've had on me on my journey as well. Because I'm very particular the way that I operate, and there's only really certain people who I feel like I can really resonate and connect with. And you were definitely somebody who I connect and resonate with. So like, you have had a major impact on me as well. And I think anybody who gets to be in your presence as a very, very lucky person, just for the value you've got and just the way that you are as a person. You're just incredible. You're an incredible dude, mate. I've got a love and respect for you. And I think for anybody who is at a position in the life where, you know, you want to be able to change the life that you're living in terms of the financial and the freedom element of things, and if you're already on that path and you want to, you know, elevate it even further, Adam is definitely a person who I can personally vouch for the value that he's got to give and how effective he is at leading people at that point as well. So if you do want to learn any more further, if you want to improve upon what you already know, if you're already in business, I highly recommend connecting with Adam, reaching out to him, because you're also doing your own sort of like separate mentorship as well, right?
From
your current business model. So for those who's listening to the podcast, which I think will be a lot of people who are already within the business model that, you know, we're a part of, if you want to expand that more, connect with Adam, because you'll already know his results, and results is what do the talking. So really grateful for you, mate. Enjoy Columbia, stay safe.
Thank you.
Until next time, mate.
Yeah, have a good one, mate. See you soon.
Amazing. Peace out, brother. So that's the end of the episode with Adam there. I really hope you extracted some value from that. I know there was definitely a couple of things which, you know, I was able to take away from that, and hopefully, you know, you listening to this, you got some value from that as well. As always, if you did find value in this, please feel free to share the podcast with people who you feel need to listen to it and could get value from it. It's, you know, it does not go unappreciated. It definitely does not go amiss. So yeah, if there is also somebody who you feel would be of good value to have on the podcast, to have an episode, feel free to comment. Feel free to send me a personal message on Instagram at Bailey Hogwood, and I look forward to getting them on the podcast. So until next time, stay blessed. God bless. Max out.